My name is Brock Dittus, and this is special coverage from the Sprocket Podcast. On January 25th, 2014, I went out to the Edgefield McMenamins in Troutdale, Oregon, to join Organic Transit, who had just shown up to demo their ELF vehicles. I first spoke with ELF inventor Rob Cotter.
You're Rob?
Yeah.
My name is Brock. I do the Sprocket Podcast.
Oh, hey, Brock.
Do you mind introducing yourself on the tape?
Yeah, my name is Rob Cotter, and I'm the founder of Organic Transit.
And we're out here at the McMenamins Edgefield in Troutdale, and you've got two vehicles on demo here. What time did you get into town? Were you been here for a couple days, or did you just arrive?
We got in last night about 9 o'clock.
Okay, fantastic. Are you staying here?
Yes.
Excellent.
We're not staying on the facility here, but we're about 20 minutes away.
Gotcha. Well, that's not too bad. This is like one of my favorite places to hang out in Portland. So
pretty nice.
Yeah.
It really is.
So tell me a little bit about the ELF. We saw this first on Bike Portland, and also some listeners sent in some feedback about, like, hey, there's this new thing that's being built. And where did the idea come from?
About 30 years ago, I was actually working for Porsche in Southern California.
That's why these look so good.
And not far from me, Dr. Paul McCready was building the Gossamer Condor and Albatross, the pedal-powered aircraft.
Okay.
And I really became enamored with that, the possibilities of that. And I built a small pedal-powered tricycle that went about 60 miles an hour on flat ground.
Wow.
And I realized, wow, if you can go, you know, highway speeds approximately on 1 or 2 horsepower, we're doing something dramatically wrong. So that was a long time ago, and since then I've put on the first solar car races in the U.S., and I've built several dozen different types of recumbents and tricycles and solar cars and things. And about 5 years ago, I was consulting for New York City's bike sharing program, and I realized, wow, if New York's putting in 300 miles of bike trails, the market is now there, because wonderful as bicycles are, a lot of people just can't, you know, it doesn't work for them, right? They have balance issues, or they have to carry the kid to school, or the rain is too much, or, you know, they're not, it's just not, doesn't fit. So our goal is actually, we have, you know, obviously lots of cyclists that love it and are using it, but it's also to pull people out of their cars.
Okay, yeah. Well, and this is, I think this addresses a couple of the key issues that people would not ride a bike for transportation. Number one, you can get wet, and even if you have good rain gear, not everybody wants to go out in the rain. So that's one of those winnowing fork type of situations. And maybe balance, like you said, like these ELF vehicles have 3 wheels instead of 2, so they're self-supporting. You don't have to worry about falling over.
Right.
So are there other things you think this addresses that would kind of break down some of those barriers?
Well, one thing, it's a lot more visible in traffic.
Yeah. It's fairly large as far as, I mean, it's not quite tandem length, but, like, it's big enough to be seen.
Well, we'll have a jump seat option coming out pretty soon, so 2 people could be in it. And this one has a 350-pound payload, but the next one we're also doing has an 800-pound payload.
Really?
Yeah. But the other part on how it deals with, you know, opening up the door for people to get out of their cars is we have people coming up with walkers.
Uh-huh.
Let's say they haven't ridden a bicycle in 30 years.
Right.
They get on it, and they take away often electric power, and they come back pedaling. And they're saying, I can pedal. And the reason they can pedal is because they didn't have to pedal.
Right, right. It's an electric assist. And so...
Yes.
And it doesn't... you're saying as well, it doesn't have to be assist. It could just be electric drive on its own?
Yes.
To a certain extent.
That's right. You can use them independently or together, whichever way you choose. So basically, the initial market is... You know, someone has to get to work, but they don't want to arrive all sweaty, or they got a lot of stuff to bring with them, or it's raining. So they go in all on electric power, they leave it out in the sun all day, let it charge up, go pedal on the way home, get the workout,
right,
and then do it again the next day. And the other alternative, or the other aspect on the other side of the spectrum, is in developing nations. Let's say it's a 15-mile hike to go get 5 or 10 gallons of fresh water.
Uh-huh.
Now they go do it in a couple of hours, come back with a 55-gallon drum of water. When they get back to the village, the solar and the pedal can be used as a micro-utility station to charge up their flashlights, radios, things like that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of space in between, basically. But we're looking at the space between a bicycle and a car. That's what we're looking to address.
And fill in the gap so that, like, fewer people have to rely on a combustion engine to get around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, basically, our goal is going after... for individuals to have a positive effect on the climate. But it's also about healthier commuters, more livable cities.
Yeah.
And also the economic reasons. You know, people, AAA says it's $9,300 a year to own an automobile. and we have people going 1,000 miles a month with these that weren't even bike riders before.
Yeah.
That are saying they're going to pay back in 7-8 months.
It's a significant, significant improvement in your financial situation, for right. sure. That's like one of the main reasons I started bicycling initially was just because I couldn't afford to fix my car and I couldn't afford the insurance or the gasoline or whatever. And so, yeah.
No kidding.
Fills in that gap.
Right.
What are the frames made of? Is it aluminum?
Yeah, it's 6061T aluminum. Everything's made in the U.S. The outer skin on the body is called Trilon, which is an ABS acrylic composite. And, it's made in the U.S.
Yeah.
It's kind of an unusual thing.
That is unusual these days. But it's close. It's local. Any reason you chose Organic as the name for the company?
I feel like the thing that powers it is organic, right? It's the human inside.
Right.
And then I think it closely relates to, I think a lot of people that would like this perhaps like organic foods and things like that. So as time goes on, also, obviously the body is a petroleum product, but we're going to be getting away from that as we can.
Sure.
And
so
making,
someday there'll be a hemp enclosure or something?
We have a hemp interior available.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's fabulous. And you mentioned that it's solar power, it has solar chargers on top of it.
Right. The basic one's a 65-watt panel, and we also have a 100-watt panel.
Yeah, and also plugs into the wall?
Yes, I can plug into a 110 outlet, and with the heavy-duty charger, it can recharge in about an hour and a half.
Okay. So conceivably, you could be selling electricity back to the grid with this machine?
Conceivably, yeah.
Conceivably.
Well, let's imagine if you had a pizza place and you had 10 of these.
Yeah.
1,000-watt panels and no fuel costs.
Right.
It's got to be pretty good.
Exactly. And the company is based in Raleigh?
Durham.
Durham, excuse mm-hmm. me. Sorry
yes.
about that. That's a newbie mistake. But in North Carolina, and you're expanding operations to Portland, Oregon?
We're looking forward to doing that, yes.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. Well, thanks for your time. I'm looking forward to trying one out.
Yeah, have fun.
Yeah. Anything else you want to tell the world, tell people about the ELF?
Well, I feel like we've taken a passive role on how we get around, how we design our cities, and how we get our power source. And it's been out of people's minds for a long time, and now I think they're taking a more active role on how they get around, what their cities should look like, and where they're getting their energy from. And we decided to focus on two real abundant sources, which is sunlight and calories.
There's a lot of those.
Yeah.
A lot of both.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Rob. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
And I got some stickers.
ELF vehicle owner Lorraine happened to be standing nearby. Her vehicle was one of the demos available on the lot that day. I asked if she'd be comfortable answering a couple of questions, and she was.
What was your name?
Lorraine.
Okay. Lorraine, good to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
And
glad
you
to
have
meet you.
You have one of these ELF vehicles. In fact, the white one is the one that someone's demoing right now, and that's yours.
It's mine, and it's a Kickstarter ELF, and I got it early July.
Yeah, and you were one of the first Kickstarter people, is that right?
I guess all Kickstarters were first.
Right.
I was number 16 Kickstarter.
Okay, yeah, but you have one of the early ones anyway.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So what informed your decision to get this? What caught your eye?
Well, I was reading Wired.com. It's a website I follow, and they had an article about this on Kickstarter, and I was so excited. I have all my life, I guess, wanted something easy to ride that doesn't take gas, that you can get exercise and stay dry, but there hasn't ever been anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw this, and I went over all the specs at a very good Kickstarter description, very well done. And I just thought, wow, you can pedal it, you can charge a battery, and it can be recharged solar. They've got all their bases covered,
yeah,
is what I thought. And the price was, the Kickstarter was within a reasonable, I thought their price range was really very good.
Yeah, it worked for you.
From what I saw on the internet, these are very reasonable compared to anything else I can find out about.
Yeah. Were you a bicyclist before you had one of these?
Well, I have a cruiser bike I ride around on, but no, I don't know that I call myself a bicyclist.
Okay, right, right.
But I do ride a bike, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, so was this a replacement for the bike or a supplement to the bike? Or I was talking to Rob about how it kind of fills the gap between the bike and the car.
Oh no, it's an addition for two things. Number one, to stay dry, and number two, to stay safe. I'm not afraid to ride this one in the dark.
Uh-huh.
I do not like to ride my bike in the dark. I'm just always afraid.
Right, even with a set of lights, it kind of seems dicey.
Even with lights, even with a reflector, it's just so, I feel so vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah, and this has a pretty robust light set, correct?
It does.
Completely turn signals. And
people can see me, and also mine is a white, and white's pretty visible.
Definitely, yeah.
Yes, and they have reflectors on the wheels, and I don't know, I just feel good riding it. And, it has the mirrors. Wow, you can see people coming up behind you, other bicyclists, cars. It's just a whole different feeling.
Yeah. Do you do utility runs with this, like groceries or errands or that sort of thing?
Yeah, mostly I ride it to the gym. I ride it to my daughters. I've visited friends. And, yes, I will go to especially Winko's because I always buy way more than I ever thought I would.
Yeah.
I order Winko's and load up on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was saying it has a 350-pound payload capacity, like
that's
you can carry quite a bit.
I don't think I've gone up that high, but, they say that we'll do that.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I believe it.
Yeah. So what's your take on the state of the environment, and does that inform why you chose this?
That is one reason. I'm one that will ride a bus instead of drive, mm-hmm. and I do, if it's under a mile, my car doesn't start. It's kind of, family knows that one. And I'm very, very conscious of my carbon footprint. And so this is just one more way to help.
Yeah.
We're all responsible for that.
Right. Yeah, we're all kind of in this together, as it were.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
After we had finished the conversation, so I thought, Lorraine came up with two more things that she really likes about having an ELF vehicle.
You said the price point is good.
Okay, I think the price point is reasonable because it's all upfront cost.
Oh, right.
So it's less than the price, way less than the price of a car. And once you pay for it, you've paid the major. After that, it's only bicycle maintenance. That's all it costs.
Yeah, whereas most people, if they lease a car or buy a car, it's going to be payments for 10, 12 years or whatever.
And even insurance every month and gas. I mean, it never stops draining your pocketbook. And this is all up front.
Yeah.
That was number one. The other thing they did right was a good design. An attractive design that people like.
Right. And a cute name.
And a cute name.
Who doesn't like an elf, right?
It's just all cute. And even the men don't seem to mind cute.
Right.
A lot of the pictures I've seen of Velomobiles on the internet, the problem is they aren't cute.
That's the thing, because these are technically a Velomobile, right? It's
I guess.
I didn't think about
that,
but yeah.
I don't know, but that's what I've seen it called.
Yeah, but this isn't one of the racing Velomobiles, and it looks like you can see the people inside of it. When you see a standard Velomobile, it looks like you don't know what it is.
You don't. You know? Yes, this has got a lot of the fun factor that other vehicles, I don't think that's one of their main.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Well, cool. Thank you for your time, Lorraine. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Next, it was off to try one myself. The white one that Lorraine owned was not available, so I stepped into the green one. Ned helped to orient me into the ELF on my first ride.
Ned, I'm Brock.
Brock, good to
meet you. Are you from North Carolina?
No, I'm from New York. I'm
New York.
In Ocala.
Okay.
I just brought my daughter here to go check out law school. She got accepted to Lewis and Clark.
Congratulations.
So I'm probably going to be moving
here. Right.
It is a really
But you have
step.
A connection to organic?
Yes, I know Rob since...
Way back. Yeah.
Way back. He's been dreaming of this for about 30 years.
Yeah, he mentioned that, which is cool. I love that, you know.
You know what? Everything finally came around to what he needed, you know?
Definitely.
The welding, the aluminum, the frame.
Oh, that's beautiful. Is that bamboo on the bottom?
Yes, bamboo running board.
That's absolutely beautiful.
It's just a running board.
Yeah.
Okay, the best way to get in is to put one foot here.
Onto the frame there in front.
Brake here. Keep your butt all the way up high. Swing this leg in, and then you slide down.
Slide in, okay. Right. I like how the chain is covered there with the...
Yes.
Oh, so wait.
Yeah, right. Put the one leg in.
Leg up front.
Oh, get your butt up high.
Oh, that's right.
Put it up high.
Like there.
Right. And then you slide on down. There you go.
There we go. Okay.
Okay, most important thing is to keep your feet on the pedals.
Yes.
If you're in a recumbent bike, your foot can get caught under the frame.
Right.
And something's going to give and it's not the bike.
Okay.
Constant velocity transmission.
Yeah. Oh, this is one of those...
CVT transmission.
Yeah.
There's no set gear. It's anywhere you want.
Right.
So this is ease on back, showing the hill. As you want to go faster, harder pedal, you turn it forward like that. That's what ease on back, go forward.
And it has a little graphic that smooths out.
Every stop sign, you would always want to ease it back.
Right.
Second nature.
Exactly.
If I pedal, I just do it.
Yeah, that's what I do as well.
The more you can pedal in the beginning, the longer the battery will last. That initial inertia from 0 to 5 is the biggest strain on the battery that you're going to have. So the more you can do that to get going, the longer your battery will last.
Okay.
I get 9 to 10 not pedaling, and I got 26 with regular shoes on, not clips, which I'm going to put on there down the road.
Yeah.
I got 26 miles on
there,
which isn't bad at all.
Yeah.
Okay, here's your transmission. I mean, your throttle is right here.
Oh, there we go.
This is your front brake, 2 disc brakes on the front. This is really only your parking brake. You can use it to slow you down.
Okay,
but these are more than adequate.
And there's 2 wheels in front. Yeah.
Yes, so it's more than adequate to slow you down.
I notice also the wheels are kind of angled inward, kind of like in a wheelchair or something like that.
So at speed, it keeps you more stable.
Keeps it, yeah.
Your blinkers.
Okay, there you go.
It's got headlights.
Yeah.
LED headlights. Horn, warning. That's only for cars when you're out on the street, pedestrians.
Yeah.
You always use this one right here.
Okay. And is this, just forward drive only? There's no reverse.
Yes, you Flintstone it on reverse. That's what I do if I ever have to turn around. I look for a little uphill.
Yeah.
Pull into the uphill, and I let gravity take me down.
There you go.
And I do it that way.
Perfect.
I always look for that.
All
right, you're all set.
Yeah, and are the... the turn signals are not self-canceling, I'm assuming?
No, they're not self-canceling.
Okay, so you got to cancel those yourself.
All right, you're ready to go.
Okay,
just keep your feet on the pedals.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. All right, so starting off on my own. Engage the electric drive. That is fantastic. The turning radius is super tight. I'm slow here so I don't hit somebody. Engage the engine again, the motor, I guess. Handles so nicely on the turns.
Have a little bit of a camber, you do a turn and you give it throttle, there's so much torque in the back that you can spin over.
Okay,
you have to be careful.
I was kind of trying to feel that out as I went around the corner,
And get used to the tranny. As you go faster, just turn that forward and you'll see how the pedaling changes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, there we go. And this dynamic gear shift is really nice. You can see how you wouldn't want to go too fast, too quickly in this. Fabulous.
On my way out of the vehicle at the end of the test, I ran into an Oregonian reporter who asked me a couple of questions about my experience and my thoughts on the vehicle. So I gave him some answers.
The electric assist is nice, the solar charge is great, but definitely I think the fact that you don't have to worry about bicycling in the rain, like this fills in that gap where like I'll do it, but you know, it would be so much more convenient. The thing I was thinking about was we had that cold snap right before Christmas time, I think, right? Where we, it was low 30s and there was black ice on the road. I was bicycling into work. I drive school bus and I was halfway in before I found out that they actually canceled school for the day. But on my way in, I almost fell off my bike and I was thinking if you could have a 3-wheel stability system or 4-wheel like this, in that situation, you wouldn't have to worry about the bike sliding out from underneath you. And I would so much prefer this. I'm a big fan of transit, but I also like building my own schedule. And when you have your own vehicle, your own transport, you've got enough control over your time that you know you can basically run your own schedule. But I also heard that they're going to have a new model that's also going to have doors, or at least an enclosure of some kind, which sounds like you know that would further address the weather issue. But yeah, this is a great idea.
And lastly, just a few closing thoughts that I had to myself while the tape was running.
Well, I think I can say from my experience with the Elf that this is a fantastic idea. I would recommend this to anyone who has the budget for it, because this is the perfect in between, perfect halfway, the perfect downgrade from a combustion vehicle.
Thanks for going along with me on this test ride of the Elf sun-powered trike from Organic Transit. As they say, it's the future of urban eco-mobility, and they bill it as the most sustainable vehicle on the planet. I'm not getting paid to say this, as far as I know, but I would recommend this. Again, if you have the budget or the inclination, this is a pretty fantastic option. Check out their website at organictransit.com for much more detail. Until next time, we will see you around the internet. Enjoy your day. Thanks for listening to the Sprocket Podcast. Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program, suggestions for topics, guests, or drinks via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Our voicemail line is 503-847-9774, and we are on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music, and we will see you next time around. A Sprocket Studios production.